You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
I wanted to do the sound effect today.
That's good. That's good. Keep on going.
I can't do it.
No, keep on going. Try.
I'm not going to do it.
All right. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Download our newest ebook, Multiplication Today, Movements Tomorrow, because that's a deep dive into what it takes to multiply within your first 5 years of existence based on our research. So you can go to our show notes today by going to newchurches.com/podcast and click today's episode number for that link. Well, my name is Daniel M, and I'm here together with Todd Adkins.
Yep, yep.
Do you like how I'm introducing ourselves again?
I do.
I think I stopped at like episode 15, and then I just forgot.
Yeah, like everybody knows who we are.
Well, today's question is from Joshua George, and this is, I'm looking forward to answering this one. So let's tune in.
That's a cool name.
Yeah. Joshua George. Or is it George Joshua?
A clothing line or something.
Hi guys, my name is Josh, and I planted Quinebaug River Church in Eastern Connecticut in November of 2014. Before launching, I spent some time and met with every pastor who would meet with me within a 5 to 10 mile radius of my planting location. In that process, I made some good friends, and since then, River Church has had some opportunities to have joint services and choir sing-alongs and different events with these other churches. Some of them I consider Orthodox and others I do not. So bottom line is we've been invited as a new baby church on some playdates. Any general guidance or principles from you guys about how a new church plant can best interact with other local well-established churches? Thank you very much.
Well, first of all, Josh, I love how you called yourself a baby church and going on play dates with other churches. That is awesome.
I'm not there yet.
It's good. I mean, it works. The analogy works.
It works.
Right? But yeah. Anyway, first of all, Josh, I want to applaud you for taking the initiative and meeting with other pastors,
Absolutely.
Both ones that you that are Orthodox and not, right? I don't know quite what you mean in terms of that scale of who you met with or not.
And you are in Connecticut.
Yes. So
who knows? Connecticut Yankee.
Connecticut Yankee.
In King Arthur's Court. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh, it's the best kids thing.
Oh, I thought that was like an adult movie.
No, I don't know. Like the one I saw.
Isn't
was
there
like
imagine
Bing
this guy
Crosby thing.
That I imagine this guy, King Arthur's Court, this guy looking like Braveheart. Isn't there a movie like that?
I don't know, man.
Anyway. We are digressing. But Josh,
very much so.
Once again, I applaud you for meeting with others and doing joint services and such. Now, you asked if you had any guidance on how new church plants could interact with other well-established local churches. And first of all, if you haven't done what Josh has done, I'm talking to the rest of our audience, even if your church is 3, 5, 10, 15 years in existence, I would encourage you to call up, email, connect with the other pastors in your neighborhood. And I mean, my go-to would be figure out a way to pray together, right? I love the idea of joint services. I love the idea of getting together with the other churches and maybe even doing some service projects, which might be an idea.
That's where I would go.
Yeah, but you got to pray
on service projects. Mm-hmm. Personally.
Okay. Well, why do you want to go service projects personally?
Well, because it's a lot of times people build community with each other by doing something together. It's
true.
One thing to go to a joint service. Everybody comes in and they experience the same thing, but it doesn't mean that they're building community.
Yeah.
Like you had proximity.
Mm-hmm.
But you built no community.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about
it's like you're on an airplane.
Yeah.
You're going to the same place, but you didn't really, like, everybody's on the flight. You experienced that together, but you didn't do it. I mean,
yeah,
you didn't do anything.
Yeah, and the beauty of serving together is Jesus called us all to serve, right? To you know, he gave his life to serve. He came, what was the passage? Not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Right. So, I mean, in light of that, whether you go to a Baptist church or Presbyterian church, a Pentecostal church, or, you know, whatever that spectrum may be, everyone understands the importance of serving. And that really does, Todd, as you say, knit people together.
Let me say, the problem. I sounded like a jerk there. From the joint services perspective,
I think
joint services are good.
No, joint services
are fine.
We're going
to do that in heaven.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But the problem with joint services is worship.
Yeah.
Right? And that's my experience where you're going to, every church has a different style of worship, a different style of music. Yeah. And that's what separates churches, which is, you know, why we have the worship wars, right? Years
dum,
ago.
Dum, dum.
The worship wars. But I mean, it's a reality, right? So yeah. I've been to some, I've seen worship services, joint prayer services go from, hey, we're going to do a little bit of hand raising and a little bit of a liturgy to whoever leads it. Now it goes way over on the flag waving and, you know, and like it goes all the way over there. And then it turns with another worship team all the way to liturgy. And it's just, I mean, it causes the attendance, causes the different churches' participations to go up and down, which you wouldn't get if you started with service projects.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you're going to have to come in, if you're a planter, you're going to have to come in with a different posture, I think. Or if you call up an established church and you're a planter, the secretary, her first inclination is this guy's, he wants money.
Yeah.
He wants something. What does he want from the pastor?
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're trying to build relationships. So you have to be, I think you have to handle that really, really well. And then if you can get in with a couple of pastors, mm-hmm. You know, whenever you end the conversation, the meal or whatever you share together, you need to say, who else should I meet with?
Yeah.
And they will tell you. And then you say, hey, do you mind introducing me to so-and-so?
Yeah, I like that.
And then you're not having to cold call people. It's, you know, you're riding on the coattails of somebody else's relationship, but it's, you're already, you're bringing that relational, you're borrowing their relational capital to get your foot in the door and build a relationship.
Yeah, what a great way. I mean, that's not to say this is the same thing as sales, but that really is one of those things that you need to learn in sales. Right. You connect with someone. If you've made the sale, you ask, hey, who else can benefit from this? And it's just it gets you so much further down the road. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was speaking at the Houston Church Planting Network. And Josh, if you're not familiar with HCPN, those guys are really, from a city perspective, leading the way. And they are 10 years ahead of perhaps you wanting to meet with churches and seeing what a city movement would look like. Because the beauty of what HCPN did was they really started with pastors from different churches coming together, praying for the city, praying for Houston. And what has happened as a result is now they have a monthly gathering where church planters and other pastors in the city will come together, learn together, pray together. And the reason I was there a couple weeks ago was to talk about our research on multiplying churches. And then what happens is they actually have a joint residency program that more than one church is a part of, and they're training and recruiting pastors to plant new churches in Houston. So if
they go to more than one church, or do they like stay at one church?
No, the residents are all plugged into whichever church they're a part of. If they're not a part of a church in Houston, well, they meet together regularly on a weekly basis.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and if a planter isn't from Houston, they need to plant in Houston. I mean, that's one of the prerequisites to get funding from HCPN. But then they get connected with one of the local churches.
I actually thought about sending some of my staff to other churches for a period of time locally, just to give them a different perspective.
Like just to visit or to actually
to serve.
Do ministry? Okay, to serve. Okay. Yeah, interesting.
I've never heard of anybody doing it, and I didn't do it, but I often thought about it, that it would probably be beneficial.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to do like a switcheroo Sunday. No? Or even if you sent your staff as mystery shoppers, right? Oh, to other
we
churches.
Did do that.
Yeah, yeah.
We did do that.
To experience totally. Everything.
So we would send our, you know, guest services team to another church to evaluate, and they would come evaluate us as yeah. well.
Yeah, that's good.
But the other one didn't know when it was. It was yeah. just something that we had worked out with each other. I think I did that with two other churches. But it was cool because you walked away with a different perspective.
Yeah. Now, if you shared that with the church you were visiting, just make sure that if you are receiving that feedback, that you listen and you yes. don't get defensive. Right.
Oh, yeah. Because there's always going to be one or two in that crowd that come and visit your church, and they're just like, blah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you all the stuff that you are doing wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, you know, you need to hear some of that. But yeah, it's really what does the body of the feedback say? Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, as we've, I think, talked about before, healthy conflict is really important. Mm-hmm. And so even opening yourself up to that feedback is super important. So I think in building relationships with other churches, that's really what it's all going to be about is how can we grow together? How can we reach our city together? How can we make each other better?
Yeah. So at the end of those meetings, if you are meeting with other pastors or connecting with them, the idea with HCPN is they do have that regular monthly gathering where they're learning together, you know, praying together, getting, you know, growing with one another. But if you're going around and meeting other pastors, make sure that you pray with them for your city, right? Pray for them. They may not share personal prayer requests. If the relationship gets to that, that'd be great. But first of all, just say, hey, before we leave, can we just pray together for the city? Or say, hey, can you pray for my church in this way? How can I pray for your church? And by doing that, by taking those steps, it really is taking a longer term perspective to say, hey, if I were to meet regularly with them, not just a one-off, and pray together with them, who knows what God may bring about, what sorts of opportunities, ways that God can knit our churches together in that way. I'm reminded of a few years ago, I mean, this is probably 5-10 years ago, when I was at one of the Willow Creek Leadership Summits, Bill Hybels exchanged pulpits with and they're by and large a white megachurch.
Yep.
And he exchanged pulpits with a by and large African-American megachurch.
My dad's done that ever since I can remember, all yeah. the way growing up.
Yeah, so they've switched. But what happened was, and that's a great idea, Josh, to see if you can switch pulpits one time or another with a church that's, you know, similar to you. But the thing is, they didn't just do that. They actually served together, right? So they went beyond just switching pulpits, but the churches walked together, they served together, they were striving to create that unity in that city in Chicago together.
Good deal.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you haven't done so, please go and submit a question online, speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on a phone, or newchurches.com, and on the right bar there's submit a voicemail button, and get that in, and we would love to help and serve you in any way that we can. Talk to you next time.